Hello, Quill, are you on the air?
Hello?
Is this Brandon?
This is Brandon.
All right, hold on. Let me give you the clap, sir. Brandon, my name is Vern, and my co-host is Slay, and we can't thank you enough for taking out a few minutes to talk to us, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, I'm a Giants fan, man, so you know what I'm saying, big blue till I die, so this is going to be a great interview, man.
Yes, sir. Let's get it done, man. Let's get it.
All right. So I want to start right from the very beginning, man. Growing up, single mom, talk about that and talk about your focus on how, because you play more than one sport, and I want you to just give us a little backdrop of your growing up, like right before you get to high school, from the beginning till you get to high school.
Well, I started off in the boxing ring at 7.
Wait.
Then I competed. I did that. I competed in boxing all the way up to I was 18 years old, maybe. Yeah, 18. I stopped once I left high school with college.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing football at the age of 9.
Okay.
First time touching the ball, I took it to the crib. I ain't doing nothing about football. I joined the team on a Thursday. The first game was on a Saturday. And they didn't have practice on Friday. So I literally went out there. Coach told me to run toward the left. He was going to pitch me the ball and take it all the way to the end zone. And that's what I did. 80 yards later, I show up in the end zone. These people going crazy, you know, cheering and stuff. I don't know nothing about football at the time. I'm trying to wonder why what's going on. Okay. Then I learned the game, and, like, shortly after the season was over, when I was 9 years old, I said to myself, I told everybody else I knew, I'm like, I'm going to the NFL. I'm playing on Sunday.
Oh, okay. At 9?
I was 9 years old.
Okay.
I was 9 years old when I made the decision. I was gonna make the decision to play in the NFL. The NFL was gonna make the decision to have me. I was gonna make my
yell at us. Okay,
you in
the NFL?
You know what I'm saying? No. I'm just saying though, because a lot of people, you know, that's the confidence I had in my craft at the time. You know.
Yeah.
Like, I believed in myself. I believed in myself to know, you know, listen, man, I could do this. You know, there's nothing nobody's going to be able to do to stop me, you know. And mm-hmm. I just kept going with it, man, and it ended up being great.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, you know, I did that, came up, I played from 9 to, like, 13 years old, 9 to 13. 9 to 14, actually. So I made it to high school, 15. It was a year behind in school. So 15 made it a year. I made it to high school. Played my freshman year. They put me on a varsity team, and I ended up quitting.
Oh, okay.
I ended up quitting, saying, you know, high school level was a lot harder for me as far as practices and the intensity of the coaches. And, you know, I'm a freshman. You got teams out there yelling at you and doing all this other stuff. So I had a quick temper as well. I grew up in the streets, you know, single mom, so I was kind of raised by the streets, and I wasn't one for all that craziness, all that screaming and all, you know, like all of that stuff like that. So I just quit. I was like, man, it's not for me. Didn't go back out my sophomore year. Went back out my junior year because I was like, you know what, if I'm gonna make a push to go to the league, they gotta start here. So
okay.
And I know I needed to get in school, and I know my mom and my family couldn't afford tuition. So the only way I went to school was to go out there and play football.
Okay.
And that's what happened, man. You know, and that's pretty much it took me the rest of the way.
Growing up in Louisiana, man, you said it was rough out there, but how was it, man? Talk about that growing up and the things that out in the streets that could have kind of distracted you from what you said at 9 years old was your goal to get to the league.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had a lot of things out there to distract me. You know what I had that a lot of guys that grew up in the bad areas didn't have, that got lost in the shuffle.
What's that?
The gangsters, the crooks, and the killers used to tell me to go in the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And go in the house, boy. You don't need to be out here. Why are you out here? Stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they used to tell me, like, hey, you still got your opportunity. We lost ours. Man, go in the house. You don't need to be out here. I had that support system from all the thugs in the area.
Yep.
So, you know, I can't say it was hard to do because they made sure I would do it. Like, sometimes they'd threaten me, like, you know, mess up if you want and watch me put one in. Like, stuff like that, like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was like,
yeah, so it was like, mess up if you want to. And this is when I'm a junior high school at the time now. That's when they took the ownership to be like, you know, do what you need to do, man. Go to school. We had the same opportunity you had. I think I was better than what you are, and I'm here. I can't let you do that. So
you gotta
go and do it. You got everything it takes. I had everything it takes. Everybody out here had everything it takes. But they didn't have people like us. We had people like us dragging us back deeper into what we doing.
Mm-hmm.
We done. This is what we are. We nothing what we're gonna do is gonna change. But we're gonna make sure you don't be dragged. You're not gonna get dragged back into this stuff. But we're gonna keep you out, or we're gonna beat your ass, kind of like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan, I gotta say this, man, and I'm gonna give you a clap for that. But that's one of the hidden talents that people don't know if they don't grow up in the hood. You know what I'm saying? People look at those guys as these the worst people ever. But if you do have talent and you do have special, they will run you home and say, look, this is not for you. And let me give you the clap for that, man, because that's a hidden message right there. And anybody that grew up the way we grew up definitely understand that and they respect it because that was the right thing to do.
You know, it was kind of, man, it was just kind of, you know, because some of it was jealousy, but some of it knew, like, man, like some of them guys knew, like, man, this dude is unbelievable out there.
Yeah.
We cannot let him ruin his opportunity. And they did, man. They was on me. Like, I couldn't be outside. If I'm on the block now, they used to let me hang on the block with them. That's one thing about it. I used to hang on the block with them when stuff was getting ready to go on. I said, man, you got to leave. Go in the house. Cool. Got you. I'm in there. Don't worry. I'm at the crib.
Yep.
You know, so I go home, I go to the crib, I go sit on the porch and just look. I'm waiting to see what happens. Most of the time, something happened, but it was real petty, like a little fight I could have engaged in. Like, y'all ran me home for this. like somebody coming over here with an AK. You know, like, that's what y'all acting like. Y'all fighting though, man. Come on, dog. Like, don't do that. You know, like, that was my, I wanted to be out there. I wanted to be out there.
Yeah.
You know, I had a supporting cast, man. I must say, man. I really had a strong supporting cast with the streets, and you know, I was raised by all women too. So
yeah,
you know, I had a supporting cast. Sometimes I didn't listen. So, you know, I ended up in trouble. Still, sometimes I ended up getting in trouble out there in the streets and stuff like that. But it was nothing, never major to hurt me. You know what I mean?
It's just you being a young man, being an explorer. I want to talk about you going from high school and being that you were such a great football player when you were younger, you took the community college route. So let's talk about that because I think right now, at this point in time, some people are like afraid or embarrassed to go to community college when you took that route and you still ended up as a Super Bowl champion.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. I wish my community college was a four-year college. I wish my community college was a four-year college versus two. I had a blast. It was tough. So to go back on it, man, I had so think about community college. You want to talk about competitive football? Some community college has athletes that's better than 1AA schools.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why: because you got all of these kids from the hood that struggled in class and got in trouble, like bad kids who had talent, like myself. Yeah. Bad kids who had talent. Just think about what that's like out there, competitive, being competitive in practice. And then you got the game playing against another junior college. They got more bad kids who got lost in the shuffle. Got more bad kids that got lost in the shuffle, and and with that killer type, assassin type mentality. Like, mm-hmm. you know, kids that grew up in the hood, they're aggressive. They're angry. We pissed off. You know what I mean? We mad. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So think about that competitive nature among each other in junior college. That's all it was. That's all it was. I was so close with a lot of my junior college homies and my teammates because we went through the thick and the thin with one another. We was in these small towns with nothing to do. All we had was each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You had some women on the campus, but most of them was athletes. And you know what I'm saying? So we had a man like we had to eat for one another. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't say it like this, but it's more like back then when I was in jail. It's more like jail. Like, hey man, you got some noodles? You got some noodles? You got this? You got this? Like, we cooking everything in like a microwave, like stuff like that. Like, it was like we had good food. Yeah, so we had good food in the cafeteria, but still, like, it was like a close knit family. You know what I mean? I love junior college, man. If a kid has to go the junior college route. And he's afraid to go embarrassment, he better get his butt up and go because that's one of the best opportunities a young man gonna have.
I'm gonna give you another clap, man, because that's a great message right mm-hmm. there.
Again.
All right, Brandon, this one we're going to talk about, man, because you went to college, man, and when you went to the four-year school, me and my guy Slayer, we got to say something to you.
Yeah.
And we hope you can appreciate it.
And we know you was,
yeah.
260, 6'4", 260.
but roll tide.
Roll tide.
Yeah.
You almost made me hang up, man. Hey.
But Brandon, I respect that. But talk about Auburn, man. And listen, you know, you go to Auburn, but Bo went to Auburn, and you play baseball and you play football. I think I read something that you got signed to play baseball for like Boston or something, right?
That wasn't me. I don't know where that came from.
All right, well, I might have made it up. Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
But you did.
I probably was playing baseball if I got that kind of offer. Well, anyway. But yeah, man, I went down. I love popping to the community. And it was cool when I went to Auburn, good stadium, much bigger than what I was playing at. It was huge. 90,000 people screaming loud. I went there because I wasn't eligible out of high school, of course. And Auburn was a team that helped me get eligible. It was a university, one of the universities that stayed out of the 90 I had recruited me,
mm-hmm.
offered me, when they figured out I wasn't going to be eligible, they fell back off of me. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. they didn't give me an opportunity to try to get eligible. They just, you know, like, hey, we're not going to offer this guy before. And we don't want to go through the extra hoops and hurdles to get them eligible. But Auburn stayed there. They got me eligible. I knew they had Cadillac Williams there. I knew
mm-hmm.
what I had to do. I had to be a man of my word because I told them, listen, I'm going to come to Auburn after I'm done with junior college. Said, you guys got me set up with this junior college. So with that being said, I gave them my word and I kept my word.
Oh, okay. So basically what happened was out of high school, you couldn't go to Auburn because of grades. So they set you up in a junior college, like to get you right, get you some playing experience, and to get your grades up. And you ended up following up and just going to Auburn.
Yep, I ended up getting my grades up, going to Auburn. And knowing those guys were there, I was just like, okay, cool. You know, they good and all, but I think I'm better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw myself being better, but not knowing the politics of college football at the time. You know, learning now I know a lot more about college football. I don't have to buy as much as teaching recruits. Cadillac Williams, and the guy was great. Now, I love Cadillac. You know, a lot of talent. He just got hurt with an injury. The injury mm-hmm. bug, you never want to leave him alone. But he was Mr. Alabama.
Mm.
Right. So how did it look at being a guy in his Virginia college from Louisiana, and all of a sudden, Mr. Alabama's not this brother. that kills them for in-state to teach. Kill them for in-state to teach. So, man, it's Alabama. If Cadillac over there, Cadillac ain't do this, he ain't start, he ain't do this, he ain't do that. Why would you go there? Why not just go to Alabama instead? So they have to do what was best for them. Program I go to the plan, which I ain't no bad blood. I still go to Auburn now. You know what I'm saying? I do all the stuff I need to do with Auburn, man. It ain't no bad blood. I get it. And I just got up out of there. So I want to be a man of my word.
Mm-hmm.
I just got up out of there and went to Southern Illinois, played, went to the league.
Okay. Slay, you got a question? Okay. Yeah. So, Brandon, so when you get into the league, your first stop is with the Giants?
First stop with the Giants.
Talk about that, man, coming in the league, I'm a fan, but I'm not exactly sure. Was that Tiki's last year or the year?
Tiki was there 2 years with me.
2 years with you?
Yeah, so I'm coming up, I go through my little draft process and all of that. I go through my little draft process and then, I just saw something strange, fella. And I know you're on a radio interview, but I gotta shake this little girl.
Okay.
How you doing? I'm good. That's me. Yeah. Nice jersey.
Yeah, fans?
Yeah.
A little girl was sitting on the bench with the jersey on.
She had the jersey on? Oh, that's what's up.
Got the jersey on, sitting there, so I had to, you know, I shook the bad hand,
like,
he hit
at me.
That's dope. That is dope.
Hey, he can't wait to go home. He'll never guess what just happened.
You know, so I just shook the hand, and, you know, but, so I come up through the mix with I'm playing for the draft, You know, I've been up for the second round, but I've been going to the fourth round of the draft. I have no idea, but I didn't care. I just wanted an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I get there, work out, train, I visit some teams, and I visit Tennessee, Philadelphia, I visited, who else was it? I think it was Cleveland Browns. Never heard nothing from the Giants, man. Never heard a word from the process. I talked to them during the combine. You know, we go do our little interviews with the coaches and the organizers, you know, the owners and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to them, but it was like maybe a 5 to 10 minute meeting. Like, you know, that's probably my shortest one. So I go out and talk to them. I get on the board real quick. They tell me to draw this up, draw that up, draw this pass protection up, draw that pass protection up. So I get up on the board and I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm, you know, consider myself as being a stubborn guy sometimes, you know, sometimes. So what I did was, I said, the system you guys run, the system I ran in college is totally different. What if this is not the right way you would do it? Are you going to give me a fail for it? For this? It was like, no, you're not. This is how we blocked it. And they blocked it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I talked to them right now. Yeah, all right, meeting's over. We'll sit down. We'll meet with the rest of the league. Go to the room. Get up the next day, run. Do all my stuff. Run a day time for my five and all that stuff. Then come draft day. Then come draft day. I do all of that stuff. Then all of a sudden, I'm chilling, I'm looking at, you know, I'm projected to go higher, projected to go second round. I lost the first two rounds of the draft. And I don't know where I'm going, but I was projected to go a little higher than what I went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't care. So I sat there. First round go, second round go, third round go. Draft is over. Maurice Clarett was the last pick of the first day, which is the third round.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine all the stuff he went through, everything he did.
Yeah, because that was a controversial pick.
Yeah.
Right. My feelings hurt then. So I was like, man, screw it. You know, they took him over me. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to sleep, wake up the next morning.
Brandon, you're cutting out a little bit on us. We could barely hear you.
Yeah, I go to sleep, wake up the next morning, and I get a call from the Giants. The first pick of the fourth round.
Mm.
And the rest is history, man.
Yeah. Talk about how it was for Earth, Wind, and Fire, man.
It was good, man. It was a bunch of guys that we played, you know, that I played with. That I enjoyed, you know, like Gary Ward, my brash, or about, you know, guys like that. It was awesome, man. I mean, we really had a strong bond, and then we loved each other, you know, so playing time never got us away, you know, because it was, we wanted to see each other pass.
Yeah. Super Bowl, one of the Super Bowls that is going to be memorable for the entire history of the NFL is the helmet catch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your Super Bowl, right?
Yep, that was Super Bowl. That was the first Super Bowl.
Yep. So talk about that. I mean, just going up against that team and just being able to, you know, to win as something that almost everybody, if you wasn't a Giant fan, thought you guys couldn't do.
We felt like we had it, you know. We felt like we had it, you know, either way, because we had just played them in Week 17, and we felt like we should have beat them in and came back around to it in the Super Bowl and made it there. And, you know, knowing we had a great team, played them and got rid of them, you know, second time around. You know, we knew, a lot of us knew, but I'm going to be honest. Like, I was one of the guys that was like, you know, man, you think we could do this? And a lot of us, like, yeah. Watching the film from the first game, man, we made so many mistakes, and we didn't get those cleaned up. So, you know, I was like, all right, what's my brother, my teammates giving me confidence, you know, and they did. They gave me the confidence, and, man, and we went and kicked their ass.
Yeah, man. Being a Super Bowl champ times one, times two, what is one of the only things that happened to you where maybe you were starstruck, like you was able to get into a door and you met a person that you never thought you would meet? That ring or those rings got you into?
It got me in nothing. It was nothing about the ring that got me through. I was one of my greatest moments.
Mm-hmm.
It was me being an entrepreneur that got me into one of my greatest moments.
Okay.
I owned a restaurant. I owned a restaurant nightclub in New York called SL, and at the time it was Avon Arbor. We started off with 2 stars, 3 stars. Ended up being a 5-star restaurant. Seeing guys like Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, you know, Brad Pitt, guys like that were walking the restaurant on a weekly basis, come eat.
Okay.
So that was some of my greatest moments, and that was just me being an entrepreneur. And that was before I put the money into that before we won the Super Bowl. You know, I pretty much put everything I owned into it, and it ended up working out.
What's the worst or the silliest thing you ever bought with one of your checks?
Man, I spent 20 grand on a chain.
On a chain?
Diamond chain. I was the worst at that. Diamond chain, and I bought a Chevrolet Caprice. Painted it, put some 26-inch wheels on it, spent over $100,000 on it. That was the worst 2 things I ever spent money on.
You still got the chain?
I wish. Yeah, I still got it. I'm going to break it down and make some for my kids.
Oh, okay. Okay. Talk about your time in San Francisco.
It was cool, man. I went out there. It was cool. It was cool. Great. It was, you know, great weather. And I just see, me and the coach just didn't get along, man. We just didn't see eye to eye. I'll just leave that one there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm reading this, and I'm hoping I'm right, but it said that you appeared on Shark Tank?
Yep, appeared on Shark Tank with another one of my entrepreneurial ventures.
Yeah.
But we ended up doing one, and that went well. We ended up selling that company as well. So we got on a lot of different stores, built it up, and let it go, man. That's what your company's for.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of entrepreneurship.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. That's what you got to do. I mean, if you're going to, like, I use my platform to do something for those different guys we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, not saying one is wrong, one is right, but I just use it to
and you know, better my account versus doing anything else. So I was good with it.
Also says here that wrestling. I know you said you box, but did you wrestle? You wrestle also?
I did Impact Wrestling a couple episodes, and it was cool. I only did that because Jason Field Paul turned it down.
Oh yeah,
he turned it down. So you know, he turned it down. So they called me and asked me to do it. It was after the second Super Bowl.
Okay.
So that was cool. I just showed up on that twice, two episodes of that, about the match, and that was it.
What are you doing now? They say you're living in Georgia, right? What are you doing? Are you coaching?
Well,
or are you
I coach youth football team. I got a youth organization here in Alpharetta, Georgia, that's ages 6 to 12, and tackle football. And, you know, we got some great coaches where I kind of give back to kids mentally through through the game of football, you know, building character and discipline and so on and so forth, man. Like, that's what I do.
I wanted to ask you, and you can explain it the way you want to, but with all the things that's coming out about CTE and just the safety of the of football and stuff like that, how do you feel, obviously because you're coaching these younger kids, but how do you feel about football for these younger kids? And should there be some more adjustments, like maybe more padded helmets and stuff like that? Or do you think everything is okay and they should just continue on the way they are?
I think everything is okay. So the problem is there's overrunning into youth football. There's no football on slap. So you either let your play, you either let your kid play or you don't. So, mm-hmm. I don't have any other football to allow system in my life. My kids have to play football. There's no choice. They have to play football. Did a whole lot for me, and my kids both playing at 6. One is 11, and one's going on his third year right now playing. So, which is my oldest, my youngest son, who's going to be 8. He's going to be 8 next month. He's going on his third year playing. My oldest is going on his 5th year playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we got to play football. So there's no room in my house for you. There's no plate at the table for you. None of that. You got to play football.
Okay. Now, you said you were raised by women and you were from a single mom, and I read that you didn't have any dealings with your father. Is your size on your mother's side? Like, are your uncles on your mother's side the size of you, or are you just one of those gems where, you know, because they used to call you the juggernaut, right?
Yeah, just one of them gems, man. You know, my dad has the size for my death, and my sister said, but other than that, I don't really know where a lot of it comes from. I mean, my grandfather has the size for him as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Brandon, you know, we're looking forward to having you in Hudson, man. I think that the fact that you are a New York Giant and you have two Super Bowl championships, the city is going to just be ecstatic about you being here, man. Do you plan on playing, or are you going to coach, or what are you going
to
do?
Nah, man, I'm going to be fresh off of surgery, so I won't be able to play. Man.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I won't be able to play, but I'll definitely be out there, you know, enjoying the festivities. But...
All right. Well, again, man, thank you for calling in. And we can't wait to see you here. And thank you for accepting to come here with us, man.
Yeah, definitely.
It's hey, no problem, man. No problem, man. Well, hey, well, you guys have a good week, man. And I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we can't wait. I mean, it's an honor talking
me
to
either,
you.
Me either, man.
All right, Brandon. Take care, man.
You guys have a good one.
You all too. Right. All right.